And we're simply elated of the Lord to be here. And we do have a word from the Lord. Now, I'm going to preference this word before I preach it. This, and I don't know if I've ever said this before or not, but I think this is probably one of the most powerful messages that I think I'll ever preach or have ever preached. If I could get everyone under the sound of my voice to grasp what God is saying this morning, that would be mass deliverance all over this world, instantaneously. Our internet audience will be privileged to have this message here. This will go out in the morning, and I believe we're going to get some great feedback. I believe the lines at the church are going to light up. People calling from all over the world, because this message here is one of those kind of words that God sends every now and then. If you have your Bible, turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, the book of St. Luke, chapter number 18. I want to start at verse 18. St. Luke chapter 18, I want to start reading at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All things have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to start reading at verse number 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Skip over to verse number 11. "Let us labor." Everybody say, "Let us labor." Somebody ain't said nothing. Let us say it again. "Let us labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper." I should have got somebody to holler right there. "And sharper than any two-edged sword." Ain't you glad you got something that'll cut down into the asunder of the soul and cut away the stuff that causes us to miss God? "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Now, you might want to underline "asunder of soul and spirit," because we're going to revisit that. "And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you would, raise your right hand and repeat after me, and I want you to say it loud and proud. "Soul ties." And if you would, repeat this secondary subject along with me. What's your soul tied to? Soul ties. Soul ties, says Castellina. God's asking the question, what is your soul tied to, child of God? God wants to know. I want to talk about something that everyone, and when I say everyone, Sister Angela, I mean nobody is left out. No one is excluded. I want to talk about something that everyone must come to grips with if we ever want to succeed in life and be all that God has created us to be. There is a spiritual entity that I must warn you about. There is something that we must be mindful of. So if you would, let your spiritual antennas go up, Sister Dorothy, so that we can hear what God is saying today. This is no shallow matter. This is something that must be addressed. Sister Jackson. Something that must be addressed. There is a spiritual entity that was birthed in hell whose purpose in life, its reason for living, is to keep our souls tied to cardinal anchors and weights. There is an entity that was birthed in hell, and its only reason for living, existing, is to keep our souls. Now, you got to understand something about your soul. Your soul is the abode of your thoughts and the abode of your actions and emotions. If something can get in and control your thoughts, your actions and emotions, they got you. Amen. That's why it's imperative for a child of God to make sure that they are delivered, not only in mouth, but in mind, body, and soul. There is a devil that's out there, and he wants to tie your hands. He wants to handcuff you so you can't be the person that God wants you to be. And so we must acknowledge that there is a spiritual entity that's out there that whose sole purpose is to anchor our souls with weights. This entity wants to keep our souls weighed down and preoccupied with stuff that will stop us from developing into being the people that God originally created us to be. This entity don't want you to fully develop. This entity don't want you to be what God created you to be. This thing wants you to live beneath your privileges. Wants you to continue to struggle in your flesh and not get deliverance in your spirit. Example, if most folks here today were honest, they would say, "Brother Pastor, I feel you. Because I'm so weighted down with the cares of this life that I'm emotionally exhausted." We have some honest folks here today would say, they would say, "My faith seems like it's on a sabbatical. Because my outlook on life just seems bleak. I'm trying, I'm fighting all I know how. And see, every time I make one step, I take two steps backwards. Every time I venture out to do something that I believe is meaningful to the heart of God, something happens to, you know, make me have to, you know, back up. Something happens to make me have to sidestep. Something happens to take me off the beaten path and I have to struggle. Try to get back to where I was before all of this stuff hit me. I agree with you, Brother Pastor. Something is weighing me down and trying to stop me from succeeding. Looking at life from God's perspective, there are weights. And I've been struggling with this quandary myself. But I got good news for you. I've come to help you today. I've come to let you know, amen, we may have an entity that's been loosed out of hell to try to hinder the saints and abort what God has purpose for us to do. But I got good news for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said, "I've overcome the world, and because my spirit in you, you can overcome it too." You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. Hallelujah. Now, before I get into the meat of the message, there are four questions that the Lord asked me before I began to compile the sermon. And I want to give you those four questions because I believe it's pertinent so that you can get a flavor of what God's trying to say. The first question the Lord asked me was, what in life is so important, so precious, and so costly that you would reject the Lord as your Savior? So what is it That's so important, so precious, so costly, that will cause you to reject the Lord and keep it. What is it? You know, we sit around and we say, but when you really ponder on this thing, like the Lord had me ponder on it, every day, we choose to do our will over God's. Every day. Might not be all day, but every day we make choices that could be detrimental to our relationship. Every day we make choices that cause us to take two or three steps backwards. Every day we do things that could put distance in the relationship with God. But the Lord says, son, before my people can really understand what I mean about soul ties and what your soul is tied to, he said they must come to the conclusion of a couple of very important questions, pertinent questions. So what in life is so important, so precious, so costly to you that you would reject the Lord and keep it? Question number two is, what is it that is so important to you that it takes precedence over following the time-tested, loving instructions of God? What is it that's in man? What is it that's in our life? What is it that's so important to us that it takes precedence over following the time-tested, loving instructions of God? And if we're going to be completely honest, there are things that we have allowed to take precedence over God's values, over God's instructions. The Lord has told us stuff not to do, and we went on and did it anyhow. How can someone who knows the truth and have access to the truth still be a slave to a lie? Don't ask me that. And the reason he asked me those questions, because what we're getting ready to get into concerning soul ties, these questions really matter, and they will take us to the root of the problem. All right. If we will address these questions honestly. But question number three is, how can someone who knows the truth and have access to the truth still be a slave to a lie? And the last one here that really kind of is the culminating question. This is the one that really brings everything to heart. What is it in man that causes him to reject and neglect the wise counsel of God? When the Lord dropped this one on me, he said, I want you to look back at the text. I want you to look back at the subject. And then he says, I want you to answer this question. And so I looked at the text, I looked at my subject matter, and then I went back and read the question over again. What is it in man that causes him to reject and neglect the wise counsel of God? And I had to go back to my subject and say, soul ties. What is it that will cause a man who had kept the law, had been a model citizen for all of his life, and to bring him to the pinnacle of what life is really all about, to stand at the feet of the master and have him be able to address the Lord and tell him, Lord, good master, what is it that person must do to receive eternal life? So when the Lord began, he said, I kept all those things in my youth. The Lord said, oh, wonderful, great. He said, the only thing you need to do now is go and sell everything that you got and give it to the poor and come follow me, and there's going to be treasures for you if you come follow me. He didn't hear what God had to say. The last question right here, what causes a man to reject and neglect the wise counsel of God? He didn't hear what God had to say, because there was something on the inside of him speaking louder than what Jesus was saying. Wasn't all the people around? Wasn't nobody else saying anything? There was something down inside of him that was talking. And it was something down in his soul. What can make a woman, or what can make a man, be so arrogant and so hell-bent on being correct? Sin to prove a point and miss God. Stuff that's in their soul. And we know the Lord. We know the Lord is on point with these questions, because it points us back to the text, this rich young ruler's prime example. But I'm inclined to believe also that God's trying to say something to most of us that's sitting here in this building, if not all of us. We can bear witness with this rich young ruler, because some of us have done some of the same things this rich young ruler is guilty of. Some of us, or I venture to say most of us, in one way or another, has violated these four questions that I asked. And if we were completely honest with ourselves, we can see exactly what God is trying to say. There is something in the innate DNA of a man. I'm talking about something that was present from birth. Something in the innate DNA of man that causes him to disdain the counsel of God. When we don't listen to what God tells us to do, it's like we're telling God we know best. There is an entity that physically, spiritually, and figuratively speaking has tied itself to the soul of man and causes him or her to refuse the truth of God. And that entity that God is talking about is a soul tie. And that soul tie is sin. Now, don't go ahead of me, because I'm not speaking generically. I'm not speaking in general. We're going to get to the substance of the matter. We have a tendency to say sin and just look at an outward manifestation of actions and deeds. But if we want to change, we must look at the root of the outward signs or the outward actions and wonder why in hundreds of thousands of years have we not evolved to a higher plane. Because we call ourselves Christians. So if we're Christians and we're Christ-like, all of this time, somebody should have been able to tell us how to get to another plane if we could do it in and of ourselves. But because we have not been addressing the root of the matter, because we've just been generically labeling stuff as sin, we won't deal with it. And because of our lack of dealing with sin, we find ourselves with things that are tying us up where we can't be liberated. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. It's because we have not dealt with the root of the matter. The thing has tied our souls, so we can't find the deliverance that we so eagerly want and need. Sin is the soul tie. The entity. The object. Sin is the soul tie. Because it can be something other than stealing or lying or fornicating or adultery or heresy, backbiting or anger. Sin just don't have to be one of those things. It could be all of them or one of them. And the thing that we have done is we have not identified it. We just say, oh yeah, well, this is this and this is that, and we had not dealt with it. In some cases, we've identified it, but we hadn't dealt with it. Now just hang on. It's going to be plain. Sin or soul tie can be one of these things or all of them. Remember this. There is something in a man or a woman that is tied to the soul that must be cut away. There is something down in the asunder. Different parts. Different places in the body or in the soul that must be dislodged so we can serve God. Now you got to understand something. In order for a person to have the mentality of a burglar or thief or robber or liar, it has to go past, it has to go further than just being in the mind. It's got to go into the heart and then down into the spirit. And what creates this drive to literally do some stuff is because we've allowed it to grow and intensify and hadn't dealt with it. And that's why we have people now that come to church and they don't want change, because they won't deal with the root of the matter. And so they can come and sit in church and be mean as a junkyard dog. They can come sit in church and be just as disillusioned as somebody who ain't saved. They can come sit in church and stir up mess and blame it on somebody else. Fight programs, fight vision, and say, I ain't doing nothing. Soul ties. People refuse to deal with stuff down in their spirit. And I'll tell you something. If you don't deal with this stuff that's down in your soul, if you don't allow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to cut this stuff away from your soul, you will forever be a slave to sin. Your soul will forever be tied up. Back in the day when I was growing up in what we call the country, we would sometimes see barbed wire nailed to trees and poles to keep cows and horses and goats in a pen or in an enclosure, in a field. And every now and then you see a strange phenomenon that would happen when you walk past a tree that has some barbed wire nailed to it. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Jack. After a period of time, the barbed wire became a part of the tree. Tree just enclosed itself around it and just grew right on around it, and the barbed wire became a part of the tree. And the only way that you can get that barbed wire out of that tree is you had to cut it. Had to get something to cut that tree to dislodge that barbed wire from out of there. Well, guess what? The same thing has happened to some of us, because we refuse to deal with sin. This thing has gotten down into the asunder of the soul, the inward parts, the inner parts. It's gotten down inside of us and attached itself, wrapped itself around our soul. And after a period of time, what has transpired, as our soul begins to expand, it begins to tighten. And it has literally cut itself in, interwoven itself into our spirit. And it's anchored there now. And the only thing going to dislodge this thing is a move of the Holy Ghost. I said it before. How can somebody who say they're a Christian sit in church and still have a problem with promiscuity? How can somebody who say they're a child of God and love the Lord with all of their heart still be a pedophile, a liar, bound by sexual perversion, will come to church and say one thing and then leave the church and do something else? How can a person live like that? Something tied to their soul. And I said this before, if we are not careful, because in our soul abides our emotions, our actions, our consciousness, and if something has tied itself to our conscience and to our soul, to our actions, and it has anchored itself there, guess what? If it's rooted and grounded in and it's anchored, it's going to lead you and guide you. It's going to influence you. It's going to cause you to do things that you don't want to do. Now understand this. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's saying, when I want to do good, evil appears. And then what I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. What is it? There is something in the soul of a man that's got to be changed. There's something in the soul that's got to be cut away, dislodged, dismembered, pulled out. And I'm telling you, it's not going to come. Amen. You're not going to get delivered from having pretty words. And somebody around, you know, just telling you about all the good things you need to empower yourself. Somebody needs to sit you down and tell you, you got to be delivered before you can be empowered. This is the only institution where we try to empower people before they get delivered. You can't go to the federal government and empower somebody before they're delivered. They got to be delivered completely. They got to have the credentials. They got to be a part of the unit. Got to be a part of. You're not gonna. They're not gonna give you no power until they can validate who you are. But we just. But if naturally, if we want to tear a fence down, we want to dislodge the wire out of the tree, and we got to take something and cut it away. Why we can't? Well, you know what makes us think that we can't do that spiritually speaking? That must not happen spiritually speaking. Now, in order to extract the wire from the tree, you got to actually, amen, go to the area where the barbed wire has gotten interwoven into the tree at, and you got to cut it away. Do you now understand what God is saying by way of the subject? When he asks the question, what is your soul tied to, or what is anchored? What is your soul anchored to, or what is tied to your soul? When you see people hell-bent on being right, even though they've been proved wrong, just say they got a soul tie. Mm-hmm. A sin called hypocrisy that hasn't been dealt with. And this thing won't let them be real, even though they go to church. When you run into somebody who's bitter and always blaming someone else for their ills and misfortunes, and covering their ears and misfortunes in other folks, they're always quick to say people. Just look at them and say, well, they got a soul tie called bitterness that hadn't been dealt with. And they're going to keep on acting like that until somebody cut it away. And that somebody is God. You run into somebody that's embracing homosexuality, you know that the thing that's tied to their soul, amen, this perverse spirit that's tied to their soul is affecting their reasoning and their rationale, their emotions, and their actions. And because it has affected and affected their reasoning, their emotions, and their rationale, because it has affected it, they can't think rationally. Mm-hmm. Only thing you need to say is they hadn't been to the operating room of the Holy Ghost, the chief surgeon. That's why they're still clowning, acting like that. Saying a man can be with another man or a woman can be with another woman. Mm-hmm. They hadn't been to the operating room where the Holy Ghost is the chief surgeon. You see somebody always criticizing, never has any good things to say. The only time they got something good to say is when you embrace their program, when you think like they think, when you raise them up, when you edify them. Amen. Just say, well, you know, they're suffering from a case of logos-ias. What's commonly called as the log in the eye syndrome. They can't see right, so logos ias. Just say they got a soul tie called logos ias. Got a log in their eye and it hadn't been delivered. They blind. We must be careful and truthful with ourselves. We must be quick to repent when the Lord shows us things. And we must not only repent quickly, but we must stay in the presence of the Lord until he cuts away the very things that have caused the problem. We cannot let anything other than the Spirit of God tie itself to our soul. We must not continue to be victims, but we must embrace what God has told us. We are victors and not victims. And so I'm going to hasten to my scripture because I want to spend a little time talking about what God has said. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And I want to start at verse number 1. Right. Now, the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt. Yes. But they had not been delivered from Egypt. Right. There are a lot of people who have been delivered from sin, but they have not been delivered from sin. Mm-hmm. They come out of the ballroom, but they just bought the ballroom mentality over here because nobody has dealt with their soul, the issues of the heart. It's become increasingly so now that the modern day church, and I'm not talking about the church, but the modern day church is just concerned about getting folks to congregate in it. They're not concerned about getting folks delivered. They just want the numbers. They just want the form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And the other thing you got to take a look at is this right here. When you have leaders who are cardinal and not spiritual, guess what? They just going to think cardinal and not spiritual. Before, in the early church, you had to be qualified and you had to be called by the Holy Ghost. But now you don't have to be qualified and you don't have to be called by the Holy Ghost and you don't have to be subject to nobody. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in them. They came out of Egypt and they still had the customs of the Egyptians in them. They came out of Egypt and they still had a murmuring mentality even though they were free. See, when you're not free in your mind, you can be free physically but not be free in your mind. They wasn't free in their mind. They were still incarcerated in their mind because they didn't realize, look, I can make things happen if I just obey what thus saith the Lord. He has promised that he will make provisions for us. He has told us there is a promised land. He has told us that he would make our enemies turn their backs to us and run from us. He has told us that he would fight for us. He has told us that he would do everything that he needs to do in order for us not only to be sustained, but victorious, more than conquerors. But they still could not ascertain that in their mind. And even though they were free, they were still in prison, enslaved. And so they came out of bondage with a murmuring spirit still in them. And they whined about everything. Had water, but it was bitter. We've been eating this manna long enough. Can we have a change in diet? God told them, all right, don't worry about it. Don't be taking more than you need. Just take what you need to eat. Some of them say, well, you know, God don't know what he's talking about. Now, he delivered them. Wasn't one sword drawn. Wasn't one bullet fired. But God don't know what he's talking about. God said, well, I'm a whole little extra. Praise God, because God might forget and we need something more. Provoke God. Would not, go back to the question, would not embrace the wisdom of God and got themselves in trouble. Now you got to understand something. When the soul of a man, listen what I said. When the soul of a man or woman is not delivered, that thing will literally, amen, control them. When the soul of a man or woman still has stuff tied to it, that thing will control them and have them acting out of character. It'll have them stealing and don't have to steal. Got a good job. God told you to give them a tenth. And you're trying to operate in another system and wondering why you ain't blessed. Because you got the heart of a thief. And you need the Holy Ghost to get down into your spirit, down into your soul, excuse me, and cut that thing away so you can be fully delivered. But let me get back to the text. Because I'm looking at y'all and y'all don't look like y'all look like y'all don't understand what I'm saying. He's saying, let us therefore fear. Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left us, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I'm going to tell you something. If we're not careful, we're going to miss out on what it is that God has destined for us to have. Amen. Lord, help me to preach this. For unto us was what? The gospel preached. The Lord has told us how we need to be delivered. He has told us what we must do. Now you got to understand something. This rich young ruler, he had a good spirit. Had a good heart, but had something tied to his heart. Had something tied to his spirit. Had something tied to his soul. He had come to the point that riches and being fundamentally sound was more important than being a Christian. A follower of Jesus. We got folks right now in the church. They're more concerned about looking religious than they are about being religious. Looking like a God child instead of just really being God's child. The legalism of Christianity now has entered the church. And so because we act a certain kind of way, we think we legally supposed to have it. Because we wear a certain kind of title. We just seem to think that because we are classified as Christians and we do the outward things that Christians do, that means we're entitled to the stuff that Christians are supposed to have. That's the biggest lie that ever lived hell. The law said, except a man or woman live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, they're not classified as his. And so we got to eat the whole roll. Not only can we have the benefits of God, we can have the benefits of God, but what we got to understand is we got to make sure the basic rudiments, the tenets of what God told us to do, are followed to the letter. If you're a child of God, you can't be cussing. If you're a child of God, you can't come to church when you want to come. If you're a child of God, you can't be leading and you ain't the leader. Okay. All right. See, when you embrace those kind of spirits, that just let God know as well as the leader know that there's something in your soul that hadn't fully been cut away. See, you can't be no lamb and acting like no lion. We got folk dressed up in sheep clothing, but they ain't nothing but raven wolves up in God's house and won't do what they want to do. And if you tell them something about it, they'll get mad with you and try and turn the whole congregation on you. Start going to folks in the church and passing lies. It amazes me how folk in the valley think they see more than somebody on the mountaintop. Moses could see because he was the visionary. He was the one that God gave the instruction to. But here come Miriam and her brother, and they think they know more than Moses. And then when one start acting a fool, it sends messages to others. And here go the sons of Korah. They gonna step up and talk about God talked to us just like he talked to you. Now all of a sudden, you got folks who supposed to be delivered acting like they're not delivered. What is this thing? That there was something down inside of the person. There was something in the soul. There's something attached to the soul that shouldn't be attached there. And until we cut that thing away, they're not going to be fully delivered. What I would do, that I do not. But what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Now, I want to do what God wants me to do. But every time I start wanting to do what God wants me to do, evil appears. All of these things have I kept from my youth up. I've obeyed the laws. Oh yeah, I've done it with all of my. I've done it. That's right. And I can stand here and say that I've done. Jesus said, "Oh, good. All right. I tell you what, then go and sell everything you got, and come follow me." Now, all of a sudden, something clicked down on the inside. You mean to tell me I got to get rid of all my riches? All of my goods, all this stuff that it took me time to accumulate. You mean to tell me I got to give up this stuff? You mean to tell me I got to give up my power, my influence? I got to give up my prestige and become as one who has nothing? I don't think so. What's the difference between him and some of us? When God asks you to make a sacrifice, oh, I love him with all of my heart, go sell what you got and give it to the church. Oh, I love him with all of my heart. Pay your tithes. Well, but my electric bill, I can't pay my tithe because my electric bill is due. Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. Do you love me more than your light bill? Do you love me more than your reputation? Do you love me more than yourself? Are you willing to go without for me? Now, the thing that the rich young ruler missed was, and it's the same thing that the children of Israel missed, was God said, if you obey me, I'll take care of you. What the rich young ruler missed was treasures. Jesus told him, he said, let's turn to that, because somebody's going to say it ain't in the word. 18th chapter of St. Luke, quickly. Hold your finger right there on the 4th chapter. But let's go to 18th chapter right quickly. I'm almost through. Y'all hang with me. Don't give up. 18th chapter of the book of St. Luke. Let's look at verse number 22. Now he's making this case. Oh yeah, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord. I sang in the choir. I'm a deacon of the fourth degree. And I've been preaching for 38 years. Bless God. And the Lord told him, he said, all right, that's wonderful. That is simply wonderful. That's wonderful. Verse 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, see, the Lord heard what you said. But he wanted to find out the root of the matter. See, some of us can't serve God if our friend get offended. That's my best friend. And the pastor hurt his heart. And I can't serve. I can't let my guard down to somebody like that. Do you know why? Do you know why? I said it before. Most folks don't look beyond the why. Why would the pastor talk to me like that? He don't understand. Would you look beyond the why? Trace the record. Is he a vicious person? No. Does he willfully and maliciously set out to hurt people's heart? No. There must be a reason. There must be something my girlfriend ain't telling me. There must be something my boy ain't telling me. He's not. No, wait a minute here. Why? Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, there are folks that's going to cause people in the church to go to hell because they want to hold them up. And to be totally frank with you, when you run into a person that you have that kind of relationship with, you need to make sure that their soul is right. Because birds of a feather flock together. Folk who like mess normally be with messy folk. Folk who like... Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou. Now you kept all them things, and that's really good. Oh, that's really good. That's wonderful. That's magnificent. Oh, I'm so proud of you. He said, but there's one thing you lack still. You thought you had it all together. Dr. Hayes, but he said, there's one thing you lack. He said, and when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all you got. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. See, and the one thing he lacked was this right here. He didn't have citizenship in heaven, but he did on earth. He didn't have a connection with heaven, but he had one on earth. He wasn't fully delivered. He had some stuff that was still in his soul that had him anchored to this earth that caused him not to see and hear what Jesus was saying. And so he said, yeah, thou likest one thing, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He said, now, if you do what I tell you, you're going to have some treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, if you follow Jesus any time, because, you know, the disciples are quick, and they told Jesus, we left all for you. Houses, land, family. Jesus, ain't no man left nothing for me. And before he leave, he'll not be compensated for it. Recompense for it. God's a just God. He's not going to let you just give up everything and follow him and then in return not bless you for doing it. Not only in the world to come, but the one here. That would go against his standards. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You mean to tell me that he's going to have his kid looking like a vagabond? Walking around like a poor child, beggar? How in the world are we going to meet the commands that Jesus left for us to do and we ain't got no money? That's the biggest lie left here. You don't have to cut corners to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to lie to folks and run games and schemes to get what God wants done. That just let me know you got something down in your soul that's attached to it, that's controlling you. When you start using other devices other than the word and other than living clean and living holy and being Christ-like to get people to do what needs to be done, that just let me know that you got something else anchored down inside of you that's controlling you. Soul ties. What is your soul anchored to? Now let me tell you something. What your soul is anchored to will eventually tell on you. What your soul is anchored to will eventually tell on you. You can walk around and act like, amen, you ain't got a care in the world and you got everything going on. But soon and very soon, the pressure gonna kick in. Oh, you look like a Christian and you walk like one and you talk like one in charge. But just as soon as the pressure gets turned up, here Saul was, and the prophet had given him instructions. I want you to go and sit and wait, and I'll be there. He gave him a set time, and here Saul was, and his men started running to him and started telling him about the Philistines. The enemy was coming upon them. The men started panicking because they heard the footsteps and the drum beats. They saw the dust clouds, and they started getting antsy. And some of the men started running because Saul didn't have words of comfort, words, amen, that could calm their hearts. And so the Bible said that some of his soldiers abandoned him and began to ride and hide themselves in the cliffs. Went AWOL on him. And here Saul is, the man supposed to be in charge, the king, who had been given instructions by the prophet from God on what he needs to do. And because Samuel didn't show up when he thought he should show up, he started counting. And then what he did was, he said, wait a minute. If Samuel ain't here to do what God won't do, I'm going to do it. What's inside of a man or a woman when the pressures of life come out or come on them will cause this stuff to come out of them. All you got to do is just wait. And you will see if a person really been delivered. There's a lot of folk in the church and they ain't delivered because they got something tied to their soul and it's controlling them. How in the world can a man get up behind a rostrum and preach the gospel, Sister Mitchell, and then pick out women in the church that he gonna sleep with? How can a woman go against what her calling is, and because she's drunk off of power offices, stepped into something she wasn't even created for, and that's going to throw the church completely out of balance? Because people really don't want to serve, they want to be seen. Right now the messenger is more important than the message is, and you see their names in lights. And you see them promising, if you come, this is Holy Ghost night, and the Holy Ghost is going to fall. You come, and we're going to have a prophetic word for you. We got folks now, the messenger is more important than the message is. And they're telling what's going to transpire. And they're not, the Spirit of God ain't saying nothing. They're talking. What is your soul anchored to? We look today and we see that there are more churches concerned with flesh than they are concerned with pleasing the heart of God. They want the masses, and so they're having hip-hop parties and hip-hop Sundays, and they're having hip-hop dances, and they're having, amen, all kind of different things to get the folk in. They're embracing whatever wind it is that's blowing now. Whatever blowing, they're embracing it. Whatever the latest fad is in Christendom, they're running after it. And it lets me know, amen, and it speaks volumes, because the Bible lets us know that what's in the heart of a man will eventually come out of him. Amen. What's motivating a man, what's tied to their soul, is what's going to come out of them. Oh, I got to preach this. Because we got to get delivered. We got to have the Holy Ghost to get down on the inside of us and cut this stuff away that don't belong inside of us. Amen. The rich young ruler mentality got to get out of us. Amen. This thing that stopped the children of Israel from going into the promised land got to be cut away from our soul. These things that got our souls tied down and anchored to this world, amen, got to be dislodged. And the only way that's going to happen is we got to go back and have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost encounter of the God kind. Amen. We got to go back and have an upper room experience. Amen. Where we lose control and the Holy Ghost takes control. Amen. They made up their mind and said, you know what? The Lord said tarry. And that's all we're going to do is tarry. We just going to wait. All of y'all who don't want to wait, take your bags and make a move. Amen. And they just sat there men began to tarry. And as they tarried, amen, all of a sudden the atmosphere got sweet. And all of a sudden, amen, the atmosphere changed, amen. And it would look like something was riding on the winds inside of the building. And all of a sudden, a manifestation in heaven, amen, manifested itself on the earth. And cloven tongues of fire, amen, began to flop around above them. And the Bible said that it began to settle on them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the only way that we're going to change, amen, there's got to be a spiritual work. And the Holy Ghost got to come in and do the work. And somebody's going to have to say, Lord, all I want to do is just tarry. You do what you do best. And I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to tarry and wait on the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. God said he'd make us more than conquerors. But he also told us the battle is not yours, it's mine. Sometime all you got to do is just go out and march around the wall. Don't say nothing to the wall. I know what the pundits have told us. And we believe this stuff. That we got so much power inside of us, we can speak to the mountain. But can I tell you something? If you ain't got nothing inside of you to address the mountain, what makes you think the mountain gonna obey you? That's the problem now. Because we got stuff tied to our soul, it make us think we're bigger and badder and greater than we really are. You can see the arrogance right now. They telling us, talking about, y'all still in the box. You need to get out of the box. No, I don't. You need to get back in the box. That's what need to happen. You done got out the box. God ain't out there. Why would God change now? He said in his word, I'm God and I change not. Why would he change now? Something tied to your soul. That's why you clowning like you're doing. That's why you ain't got no power. That's why you got to manufacture your anointing and play with folks' flesh and intellect to motivate them to do what you want to do. We got people going out buying cars and houses and lands right now, and we making people think that's the anointing. That ain't the anointing. They got folks out there right now that's got plenty of money that's buying cars and houses and lands, condominiums, countries, islands. That ain't God. We done left the supernatural and gone to the tangible trying to gauge whether it's God or not. But my Bible lets me know, amen, there got to be a distinct difference between what God has done versus what man has done. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of this stuff that we're attributing to God, he ain't got nothing to do with it. But let me close. I got to hasten to my close. Okay. The Lord told him, say, you're a good fella and you done great. He said, but you're lacking something. And what you're lacking is proper initiative. What you're lacking is the wrong mindset. Mm-hmm. What you're lacking is a servant's mentality. What you're lacking, amen, is that you want to be seen. And you want to be seen as righteous. But you don't want nobody to know what made you do what you did. See, so you can't do that of yourself. If you're going to live right, it comes from God. But some folk don't want to be delivered. Because the thing down in their soul got more power than they got. And so they don't have a mind to be delivered. And so what they would rather do is go out and blame other folks for their shortcomings. I can't get no help with this. I'm closing. The fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse number 2 said, for unto us was the gospel preached. You don't have no excuse. You don't have no excuse. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the word of the living God has been preached unto us. And so if something is impeding your progress, God is telling you it's a soul issue. It's something that you got to, amen, bring to the altar and bring to God so that he can surgically get down into the area that words alone can't get to. Deeds and actions alone. See, some of us try to work our way in and still ain't doing it. This is a matter of the soul. And you have to acknowledge, like Paul did. He said, I'm wretched and I'm powerless. Who gonna deliver me? All right. And so when he made those confessions, all of a sudden, it gave God power of attorney to come in and rectify the situation. You don't believe that? 8th chapter of Romans. That's all right. Right quick. Come on. Let's go over here right quick. Let's go over here right quick. Let's go over here. Let's see. See if I can find that book. Let's see if I can find that book of Romans. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look at the 8th chapter of Romans. Well, matter of fact, look at the 7th chapter. Look at the 7th chapter. It said, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. But he started talking about how wretched he was and how powerless he was. And he asked who's going to deliver. But look at chapter 8. And this is something else right here. This is something else right here. I thank God for this right here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in what? Who walk not after the what? See, God can deliver you. And he can set you free. Because what you got to understand is, this is what really transpires is, and this 8th chapter brings this out vividly. There is a war going on. Your flesh hates your spirit. And your spirit hates your flesh. Mutual dislike one for another. And so what transpires is the stronger of the two is going to win. But guess what? Guess what? I got a word for you. Amen. You might have something tied to your soul, but God can free you. God can set you free. Amen. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken your mortal bodies. In essence, God said, I can give you power to be free. I can cut it away. I can liberate you. Not only in your mind, but in your soul. And that's what's transpired. Some of us just free up here. And you can walk around and confess, I'm free. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. But I want you to know something. Amen. If you don't get deliverance down in your essence, amen, those won't be nothing but words. Paul and Silas was in jail. Destined to die. But they was in jail. And at midnight, the most trying time of the night, the most pronounced time for the enemy, at midnight they start singing. My God, you can be in the hood and still not be a part of the hood. Gang banging, doing drugs, crack house next door, fumes so strong, everybody around, amen, walking past can get a buzz. But you next door, but something inside of your house won't let the fumes come in. Something in your house won't let you embrace where you at. I'm in the hood, but the hood ain't in me. Hallelujah. That spirit will quicken you, give you power. I gotta close this. Let me. God said, I cut it away. The gospel preached to you. The word has been given to you. And if you hear what the word say, it'll profit you. Because what the word will do is it'll intertwine, it'll intermingle itself with your faith and cause a chemical reaction of the God kind. And then all of a sudden, amen, what'll happen is, amen, a hunger starts getting created down in the innermost part of your being. And it starts saying, I know. And then listen to this. Let me get out here where y'all can see, man. It says, I know who I am. And I know what I'm doing. And I cannot continue to live like this if I want to go to heaven. So whatever weights and sin that is so easily besetting me, I got to cut it away. I got to get it dislodged from my spirit so I can be free. See, it didn't profit them because they didn't mix the word with faith. But that's not how it's going to happen with a child of God. Because when we hear the word, we're going to mix the word with faith. When we hear the word, in essence, what's going to transpire is our spirit says, "Oh, that's the word." And it starts eating it. And then when you eat the word, it just starts mixing with your faith. I can't get no help with this. And when it starts mixing with the faith, it starts giving you power. It starts giving you revelation. It starts giving you a hunger and the thirsting. It starts giving you a God desire. And then when the God desire is created, revelation starts coming. And then you start seeing, wait a minute, what is that attached to me? What? I got to get free from this so I can be all that he want me to be. It's no more I that liveth, but it's Christ that live inside of me. This stuff ought not be on me. I'm a child of God. I ought not be entertaining these kind of thoughts. Something wrong. What is it? And when you eat the word and it creates a God desire on the inside of you, revelation comes. Then you start seeing like God sees. And then you start getting in a hurry. I got to hurry up and get this off of me. Because I want to be all that God wants me to be. So when you take the word and receive it in faith, amen, what transpires is, amen, look at verse number 12. I got to close with this. I ain't halfway through. I didn't cut this thing up. Lord, help me to preach it right. Let revelation flow. But look at number 12. The word of God is what? Quick. See what happens is when revelation starts flowing, when our appetite is right, when we said I'm gonna be just like the Lord want me to be and like nothing else, when that revelation starts flowing, we start seeing stuff. The word of God is quick. It'll show up right then. And then not only is it quick, but it's got power. And whatever you need to be delivered from, it has the dunamis, the dynamite, the power to eradicate the situation. So it's for the word of God is quick and powerful, and not only is it quick and powerful, but it's sharp. Got to have a sharp blade to get down into the soul, into the asunder of the soul, into bits and pieces, different areas of the body, and cut this thing away and don't do no damage to the soul. Got to have a sharp blade. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce down where? Into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now this thing ain't all over the soul. It's just tied to the soul. And it can be in different areas of the soul. On the top, on the bottom, on the side, in front, in back. When you look at that word asunder, that simply means it's down in the inner part, but it's also in specific areas. In a different place. See, some folks ain't got the same issues. Some anchors ain't large as others. What he says right here, he says, it pierces even, let's show how this sword is something else. It'll pierce down even into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Uh-huh. It'll get down in between the soul and the spirit. And then cut this thing and don't do no damage at all. And the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm telling you, the word is something else. Soul ties. God say, if you're acting erratic and you're supposed to be a child of God, check your soul. He said, if you got foreign appetites, if you craving stuff that you ain't got no business craving and you know that's not the appetite that a child of God ought to have, check your soul. He said, if you fighting battles that you ought not have to be fighting, you're supposed to be delivered from that stuff. He said, check your soul. If you're not disciplined, if nobody can tell you nothing, if you got these spirits that the Bible is talking against, he said, check your soul. Because there's something attached to it. Something tied to it. If you don't have a hunger for God and a hunger for his word, but you have hunger for other stuff, God said, check your soul, because there's something attached to it. If you still battling a demon that you had when you wasn't saved, God said, check your soul, because there's something attached to it. Soul ties. What's anchored to your soul? Everybody standing.